May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in the sight of God, our Rock and our Redeemer. I've got a new house. Yay! In one Glee Court, Kilmarnock. Oh no, that's out on the internet now, you're all of you. Anyway, it's a wonderful home, and I'm very grateful to the Kirk Session and the congregation here for providing me with such a wonderful place to live. To be honest, at the moment, I have a difficulty finding things in the new house. And there's a little story from the induction on Thursday evening. I had a lovely pair of black shoes, and a few days before the induction, and I've not got them on today, a few days before the induction, who knows? But if you speak to my friend Lorraine, she will tell you that sometimes I have that syndrome where I look and a thing is actually there but I don't see it. You know the sort of thing. Anyhow, I thought, am I going to find these black shoes before Thursday? Anyway, I decided to order another pair by express delivery. And then, halfway through Thursday, before the induction, in a box that I had already been in, I found the other ones. Think about your home for a moment. Just visualise your home, or the place that you live, in your head. You're given 10 minutes to grab 5 of your most precious possessions. This is not people, this is possessions, it's things. 10 minutes, 5 things. Imagine what you would go and collect and what you would leave behind. Now, it would be interesting if we had time for me to say to you, have a wee chat with your neighbour about this, but the good news is we don't have time this morning, so that's good. But one of the interesting things I suspect is, when I thought about it, the things that I would grab and take with me, actually, in monetary terms, are not worth very much at all. But I would be taking them with me because they are a treasure to me. The question that the lawyer asked Jesus is a bit like this. Faced with the whole volume of the Jewish law, he says to Jesus, which one is a treasure? Which one really matters? Which would you hold on to as being the imperative? And what is the significance of the choice that you make? Now, this is about the construction of a code of personal ethics, yes, but it's about much, much more than that. The Shema, the word means hear, to listen. Listen, Israel. Hear, O Israel. Listen, people of God. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. And if you were listening carefully to the words that Ronnie read, you would have heard them using a word called phylacteries. Hugh is going to throw up a picture for me here. There it is, the phylactery. This leather that you see tied to the Jewish, or the rabbi is showing the man how to tie this on. And so literally for Jewish men, and in the little box that you see up in the arm, the top of the arm there, would be a copy of the Shema, Hear, O Israel. Literally tied to the arm and tied to the head. And to this day, Jewish men will prepare for worship by doing this very thing. But more than that, because it's not just about men and worship, here's another picture. The mezuzah, sitting on the doorposts as you go into a Jewish home, and in some Jewish homes, on the doorpost of each door. And as you would come home, touching the doorpost, and there's mezuzah on it, and kissing, And in there, a little tiny, tiny scroll with the words, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." Very physical, tactile examples to remind the people, if that was required, of what the Lord commanded. Now, what Jesus does is he takes this most well understood and known piece of Jewish law, and he does something very radical, which is what Jesus always does. He takes that and he says, this is important. And his Jewish hearers would have been cheering inside because they knew how important it was. But then Jesus turns it all upside down. And he said, you know, the next thing, love your neighbour as you love yourself. Now that's actually a quotation from Leviticus in the Old Testament of the Bible. And the original context was to Jewish hearers. So when Jewish hearers heard, love your neighbour as you love yourself, they thought of their fellow Jews. But then Jesus takes it on another step. Because it's not just about those who are like you, it is about all people, Gentiles, non-Jews as well. And when Jesus quoted these words, he quoted them without any qualification and without any limiting boundaries. He took the old law and he filled it with new meaning for the hearers then and for the hearers today, you and I. Some of you will have heard of Eugene Peterson. He was a very prolific author and Bible translator and preacher, and sadly, he died last week. And in fact, his funeral was streamed live on the internet yesterday. One of the things you might know Eugene Peterson for was a paraphrased version of the Bible that he wrote called The Message. What he was trying to do there was to take the words of the Bible and put them into a language that was contemporary. For us, when we read it, one of the problems with it is he was writing for an American-Canadian audience. So sometimes it grates a bit for us. But the way he writes these words interests me. He says, love the Lord your God with all your passion, all your intelligence, and all your energy. Love the Lord your God with all your passion, with all your intelligence, and all your energy. This is a whole life matter. It's a 24/7 way of being. You may have heard these words before. The things that we love tell us who we are. It was St. Thomas Aquinas who wrote those words. And on this weekend, when we celebrate the saints who have gone before us, those words are as true today. The things that we love tell us who we are. And so for you and me, as we start out on this journey together, as ministering people, as friends, as pilgrims, I ask these questions of myself and of you. How do I love God with all that I am and every aspect of my life and being? And then how do I take what Jesus said and make that real, which is extending that with no boundaries on it at all? And it just seems to me an amazing work of the Spirit of God that Fiona is with us this morning, because her work in advocacy, particularly in this whole area of the movement of people around the world, is about just what this means. No limits, no boundaries. How do I love others who are different to me with that kind of revolutionary, life-changing, transforming love? And I don't quite know, it's a big question, but I hope it's something that you and I can work out together. What does that mean for us in church? How are we going to love each other like that? And then how are we going to show that love in different ways amongst ourselves and in the world around us? And of course, in so many ways, we're already doing it. We just don't realise that we're doing it. Jesus did not come to bring in the church. Jesus came to bring in the kingdom. And the shape of the kingdom of God is loving God and loving others. And that gives us the framework. And the cornerstone in it all, Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Jesus who said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. And with outstretched arms on a cross, showed the world a love with no limits, love unbounded. This is the way of the kingdom. So I wonder, do you remember those five things that you would take from your home? It's not a test, but do you remember them? The things that we love tell us who we are. May you and I together walk in the way of the Lord for the glory of God and for the bringing of God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.